This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's get her in here, Sia. Wendy Crewson is a Canadian actress. She has an incredible list of movies and TV series to her name. She's been in just an unbelievable slew of these great movies. You've seen Bicentennial Man, The Sixth Day, Air Force One, The Santa Claus Trilogy, The Clearing, The Vow, Away From Her, Into the Forest, the Oscar-nominated Room with Brie Larson, Patricia Rosima's movie Into the Forest I mentioned just a moment ago, and she's worked on more than 100 titles, including critically acclaimed ones. She's been awarded with a number of awards, and more recently, she wrapped the fifth and final season of CTV's hit medical drama Saving Hope, for which she won Best Actress in a Feature Supporting Role at the 2013 CSAs. She'll also be seen in the films Kodachrome with Ed Harris and Jason Sudeikis, and Death Wish with Bruce Willis, and the new CBC television series Frankie Drake. It seems that you work pretty much harder than any other actress in the world. If I just look at the incredible list of movies and TV series you've been in, do you even have time to sleep with this crazy schedule?
You know, not much, but that's okay. I'm going to have a word with my manager. Let's blame him for this.
Well, when you listen to this list, Wendy, it sounds like you are the busiest woman in show business.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds really good when you were saying, and I thought, gosh, that sounds great.
No, it does.
She's really got it together. But it's not true. I don't at all.
I don't believe it for a second. Welcome. Welcome to South Africa.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. I just love this country.
First time here?
No. I shot the Winnie Mandela story here.
Of course. Sorry. I didn't even get to that in the long list.
During the World Cup. And what a trip. I just fell in love with this place. We did a safari. We went to Cape Town. We drove the wine country. We went diving with the great white sharks.
Who were you in the Winnie Mandela movie?
Yeah. I can't even remember my character's name. I was her friend.
Oh, she had a white friend.
She had a white friend. She had several white friends.
Sure.
And they just clumped them into one person. Okay. So I was, you know, an amalgamation of the white friends.
Well, you're in South Africa now. You're launching a new TV series here.
Yes.
Which is going on the Universal Channel. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you really have done an incredible amount with some really well-known actors and actresses, too. Do you think Canadian actors and actresses get treated differently to American ones? I mean, it seems to me that you're probably the most prolific Canadian actress that there is. I mean, if you just look at this list of things. So in America, you would maybe have been more well-known to Americans. Is it their fault, or is it Canada's fault, or is it our fault for not paying attention? I mean, it just seems to me, like now I obviously recognized you when you walked in,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen a number of these shows and these movies, but it seems to me like Canada almost gets treated like second best.
Well, we certainly have an inferiority complex. We never really consider ourselves as good as the Americans, though secretly we think we're better. But, you know, generally we don't. And we don't produce domestic product very much. We're starting. But generally we're buying American product. So our broadcasters fill our airwaves with American shows that they buy and put on in primetime hours. So the fact that we even have some Canadian dramas now is really amazing and something we fought really hard for, because we were all sick and tired of seeing nothing but American shows on Canadian airwaves.
Now, as someone who did a lot of real A-list movies,
mm-hmm.
Do you feel that it's exciting or that it's potentially quite scary that television is becoming the juggernaut that it is now, where movie stars want to be on TV? It always used to be the other way around. TV stars wanted to end up being in movies. And now TV series have got the bigger budgets.
Yes.
You're seeing these runaway hits that are being produced in television that cost and look and attract the very best talent.
Yeah.
Like movies used to.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a little hard when you're down on the food chain, when you're lower on the food chain, because you counted on all those like big movie stars to stay in the movies so you could do the television stuff. And mm-hmm. now everybody's sort of into TV. But I think it's a golden age of television, and I love that these great stories are being told on television. You know, wherever it's being told is a good thing. So, you know, I'm all for all these amazing series that are being done.
So tell me about the series that you're here to launch, The Detail. So mm-hmm. this is a police sort of drama?
Yes, it's a police procedural drama that's female-led. So it's three women detectives. I'm the boss. There's a 20-year-old and sort of a 40-year-old, so it's intergenerational, diverse. And it's these three women that are trying to, they solve crimes, they're great detectives, and balancing messy, complicated personal lives. And so we go back and forth to their home life and then back to work. And we see how often the crimes reflect something that is going on in their personal lives. And we watch them sort of work their way through together and apart through these crimes. And just a fascinating study in watching women sort of unapologetically as the leaders of the show.
Oh, I think that there's a trend towards that. More and more you see like Ocean's 8, which I think came out just recently. Just a whole lot. Mm-hmm. It's all the guys in the previous movies. It's now girls.
Yes, all women.
I'm curious, though, when you go into a project like this, it's 10 episodes, so it's not going to take up your whole life.
No.
And you've got so many other things going on at the same time. How much of a backstory do you want to give your character? How much time do you spend thinking about them? Is it important to you to give it that fullness, or do you think this is a project, X amount of time, I'll just make sure I deliver that part of it that I need to as well as I can? Because it's, you can't put that effort into every role.
Yeah, but you should.
I'm not an actor's backside. Yeah. I wouldn't know where to start.
You really want to feel, at least in a part that's as big as this, in a series, though it's not my life, it is a commitment of 10 episodes, which takes, 3 months to do. You want to make sure that there's a naturalness to what you do and ease. You want to find that second skin that is this character. So I spent a lot of time with a real staff inspector in Toronto, a woman who was head of homicide and had earlier been head of sex crimes. So I spent a lot of time with her just talking about what it's like to be a woman in that paramilitary environment, what it's like to be a detective, what the cases were like, how she went about solving them. Now, I'm a big, huge fan of like cold case files. I love all those sort of real life crimes. I love all the blood spatter and the, bodies that they find.
You're in the right place.
Exactly.
You heard what we were talking about before.
I know.
Murder every other week. Incredible.
Listen, everywhere. There's a murder everywhere now. But
we're very proud of
and you should be.
All right, so when you do this, you obviously get really enmeshed in what's going on. And what about your co-stars? I mean, and I'm not saying this happened with this series, but you've worked on a lot of projects. There must have been occasions where you see your co-stars aren't maybe taking it as seriously, or they keep forgetting their lines. They mess with your mojo. You're a professional actress. You're trying to do the job. Do you go up to these people and say, look, I'm taking this seriously, you're not? Or do you just kind of get through the project and make it work, no matter what they're doing?
Yeah, I think you kind of get through the project and make it work. You really do. I'm really loath to criticize a fellow actor. You can criticize the director or the producer, but once you're in an ensemble thing, if it's a kid who doesn't understand what goes on a movie set, it's okay to take them aside and go, hey, here's the deal. You want to learn your lines at home, so when you get to set and everybody's standing around, you want to keep things moving, We don't want to be taking up time. So, yeah, you can for sure do that, but not often do you find that. People are really prepared, professional.
Well, I suppose it's a very competitive environment.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
And every job could be your last or your best.
Absolutely.
So you have to just make sure it works. Uh-huh. And therefore, I suppose the vast majority of people would be doing, they'd put their best foot forward.
Absolutely, they do. What you do find, and what I found with a lot of male stars, like say Tim Allen, comedians,
cool,
or Robin Williams, is that they never say the same thing twice in a scene. You never know where they are going to go. And that is always fantastic, trying to keep up with them, because they're always improvising.
But I mean, those two are comedians, right?
And they're comedians. It's a different breed.
In the case of Robin Williams, I mean, I can only imagine, and you must tell me what it would have been like to work with him, but it's such a quick mind, right?
Unbelievable. It was just, he was Mercury. He just changed, and these characters just bubbled out of him all the time.
Does that make it worse for you or fun for you?
It was fun. He was very fun. And all of that, there's sort of a mania in all of that.
Yeah.
But the other side of Robin was very quiet and very caring and very sort of,
Did he ever get morose around you on set? Because we know...
Look back on it now, we think, could that have been sort of the other side? Could that have been depression rather than just a sort of what we thought was a shyness? Quite possibly. But he never let you see that he was sad. He would just be quiet.
Yeah, I suppose when you heard the news, you were as shocked as everyone else.
I was just shocked. Just shocked. Although... You know, I mean, yes, and you always, but when you look back, you think, I can sort of see, and I know that, you know, he talked about openly, had had a sort of difficult childhood. Mm-hmm. He was very unhappy, and when he started doing comedy was through those years, trying in a way to sort of survive them. So, yes, I guess there were signs, but still shocked and, you know, sad.
Were you as shocked to find out that Tim Allen was a Republican? I mean, that's just as shocking.
That was not shocking, no more than Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. Yeah, those guys are Republicans. I'm surprised, you know, in this business, there aren't many, many Republicans.
Well, no, I suppose in the entertainment industry, generally.
Not really. We're pretty liberal.
Yeah, people on the left mostly, but, you know, a guy like Tim Allen is also, he's got a lot of principle, and people seem to admire him, and I hear only good things. He's very professional.
He is. His job. I loved him. He was really fantastic. He was great to work with. Funny as hell. I mean, he was fantastic. So, no, I have nothing but respect for him, other than the sort of political stuff.
Sure, which you may or may not agree with. You're not political.
I'm very political. I
Tell
have to
me
say
more.
At home, right. I'm really political.
Because in Canada, you know, you've got, there are some contentious issues. There always are in every country.
Sure.
And Canada has just as much of a political spectrum as any other country would
Absolutely
have.
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely. So we have, you know, our right-wing conservatives. And right now, running for the head of the province of Ontario, mm-hmm. we have Doug Ford. You may have heard of the mayor of Toronto.
Yes.
The crack-smoking
yes.
mayor of Toronto.
Yes, Rob
That's
Ford.
Rob Ford, his brother.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So this guy's the brother
and
of that guy.
And this guy is the brother of that guy. So you can imagine that Ford Nation, what that family is like. And there is a good chance that he is going to win.
So I assume that you would be upset by that.
Oh, my God. We are just apoplectic
that this might
happen. Are
you thinking of moving to Vancouver if that happens?
That's right. I'm going to British Columbia. You know, you have to stay and you have to keep fighting the good fight. So,
do you like Justin Trudeau?
Yes, of course I like Justin Trudeau. I think he's spectacular. But, you know, I can push even a little further left than the Liberals.
All
you
right.
know, I'm a vice president of our actors union. You know,
you're a powerful woman.
That's right. Yeah. I am. So.
So you could bring some clout to this.
I could.
All right.
We do. We lobby
I can see
all
you
the
versus
time.
Versus Doug Forbes.
Oh my gosh, my friends. I thought nobody's your friend. We're not your friend.
That I remember his brother when we were watching the videos, and this guy was just out of control and slimy. He's like a slimy human being, right?
Slimy. Well, how did
someone like that become a man?
Well. How did Donald Trump become president of the United States? I think we have to look at the same formula and think that's how that happens, you know.
Well, in this day and age, why don't you run for Prime Minister of Canada after Trudeau? I mean, you could. You could easily.
I could certainly think about running for political office,
because
for sure.
you've got the cred here, and I think you've probably built up, if you're the president, for example, of this actors union, you know, people are already entrusting you with this sort of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. I know. There's absolutely. The problem is right now is that I would have to give up acting.
Yeah.
And that's the thing
you
I love.
It, right?
Not that I don't love being political. I really enjoy the power of change. But you can, yeah. So I'd have to do something that allowed me still to make my movies and do that. I'd rather be producing. That's what I'd rather be doing.
Well, since you came out in, 2014, have you also become more involved in sort of LGBT politics in Canada?
Yes. And you become involved just by the mere fact of coming out.
Right.
That involves you. So the idea that a person who has some power and influence, who has experienced success in their life, I am safe to be whomever I would wish to be and want to be. I am safe to have that authentic voice, and I feel it's my responsibility then to make sure it's loud and proud in front, so that for all the people that do not have voice and power and position, you know, that
there are a lot of people who must live in communities where they can't be themselves because they're afraid.
They're afraid,
and there is a real danger.
Is a real danger. Yeah. They always say there's a courage in coming out, not because you're nervous that you know people might be upset by it, but because it's dangerous. Yeah. It's dangerous in so many ways. Dangerous in with your family. Dangerous in your community.
I'm really interested in your story, too, because you have kids, and you were married, and you decided later on in life to come out.
Yeah.
Was that because it was a tough decision to make, or was that because circumstances changed, or, I mean, what kind of brought that on, if you don't mind my asking? I'm interested in kind of a later in life decision to do that.
The decision to come out, I think, came out of a number of things. And certainly, as my marriage kind of fell apart, it became a thought then of what I was going to, how I was going to continue. And the voice of being gay was not something that was new to me. I just felt more fluid in my sexuality and had all my life. It wasn't a secret,
right?
Not to me or nor to anyone I knew.
This was just
I'm going to. I thought everybody was like that.
Right.
I thought that that was a pretty typical thing. You know, if you were kind of in touch with yourself, there was the idea that you could kind of go either way. Now, of course, since then, people say, no, I could never. But
I think
really,
people are starting to come around to
I
that
think they might
in,
be
in a
now.
Lot of ways, right?
Yes, and I think with women, it's a different thing. It's
sure.
not as...
There's not as much stigma.
Exactly. And, yeah. There's not as much ego involved in sort of making sure your heterosexuality is safe. You know, you don't have that same sort of push. So it wasn't something that just... you know, fell on my head, and I thought, oh, wow, what's this?
So it was neither something you were embarrassed about or something that you were particularly super aware of. It was just part of the way you lived.
It was just part of the way I lived, exactly.
I think that's beautiful. I think more people should be like that.
Well, so, it would be lovely if everybody could be in touch that way.
So then coming out wasn't such a big deal either.
Well, it still was a big deal coming out, because even though I knew that, now you are asking everyone you know to look at you in a completely different way that has to do with sex, which is like, oh.
It's a private thing.
It's a private thing, exactly. So the idea of having to sort of announce it to the world felt hard. But I did it on a TV talk show that was on, hosted by a group of women. Like, it's our show that's like The View. It's called The Social. A great group of women. And I was hosting for a week.
Did they expect it?
I said to them when we started, because they always talk about their personal stuff in all these stories, and I said to them, I don't want to hide this. I don't want to live in fear that I'm going to be outed by some newspaper or some
horrible person that you haven't a relationship with.
Exactly. And I said, so just beware, I am going to maybe introduce this in a conversation. So please, nobody like fall off their chair.
Don't freak out.
Everybody just sort of. So it was a very natural question that came up. And they said, do you share clothes with your husband? Like, do you wear shirts or your boyfriend? Are you, which, of course, is part of that sort of hetero norm that we just, that unconscious bias that everybody is like
but
that.
But there's also that idea that all the lesbians wear the lumberjack shirts.
Exactly. I think, you know, everybody, would it be easier if I was wearing a plaid shirt?
Right.
Would that make it easier to understand? But so it was very, it came out of that conversation. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I do, because my partner is a woman. And it was without missing a beat. Lainey turns to me and she says, even the shoes? And I went, yeah, even shoes. She says, oh, I'm so jealous.
That's great.
So it was a really lovely, seamless kind of...
Did you have any fallout out of that? Were there friends who you stopped hearing from? Or
no.
See that?
I had zero fallout. And I thought, why did I wait so long to say anything? Why was I worried about it? You know, telling your family... is the most difficult. The rest of the world, really, it's like, who cares? You can like me or not like me.
And most people just get on with it.
And most people just get on with it. They don't care one way or the other,
They're
really.
They're not that interested.
They're not that interested. Yeah. They've got their own issues that they're worried about. Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
It's good that you're a person that can speak about these things and can represent people who maybe can't speak for themselves. So, I mean, that's probably a very powerful position to occupy as well, quite apart from the Actors Union and all these incredible shows that you've been on. But do you find, as an actress, that there are still people who they expect you to be playing a role, even when you're just yourself? And they kind of, maybe they saw you in a certain movie or a certain TV series, mm-hmm. and that's how they know you. And they expect you to always be like that?
I think there's possibly a certain thing. First of all, I think they're always shocked if I meet them see somebody in a grocery store and they suddenly recognize how, like, plain I am without my hair and makeup done. There's that more sort of second take, like,
I don't know.
You're Wendy. Oh, right.
You look pretty glamorous this morning, and
yes,
it's like 7:40 in the morning.
Yes, thank you, Gina. I am looking very glamorous at 7:40 in the morning. But I think there's that. But it's Canada, and everybody is very polite, and nobody is going to say anything at all other than, I didn't want to interrupt, but really like your work, and that's all I ever get. So it's quite nice.
Well, I mean, even some of your roles, though, have been political. I mean, you've had roles where you were, you stood up for patient assisted suicides, mm-hmm, and that kind mm-hmm, of thing. And mm-hmm. you've played a couple of roles that could be considered controversial.
Yes.
In terms of positions that are politically, you know, slightly more noisy than other positions.
Absolutely. And I think those are the most important roles that I've played, and certainly the ones that have given me the greatest pleasure to play. Not that it isn't fun to be Harrison Ford's wife in Air Force One. It sure as hell is.
What's he like?
Oh my God, the best.
Really?
He is just the sweetest man, so much fun. He's really like a musical theater performer. I mean, he's on set and he's funny and fun and not that serious. Often journalists think, really, he's funny and fun because they get these sort of grumpy interviews with him. But he really is so much fun to be on set with and such a gracious man.
Well, if you judge some people by the interviews, I mean, you can't enjoy all the interviews. Some of them are a pain in the ass, right?
Well, you know, here's what Harrison. Yeah, it's okay. I won't hold it against you.
No,
really, really. You know, Harrison said, "They don't pay you. They don't pay me to act. They pay me to do the press."
Yeah,
and that's true.
That's the hard part.
That's the hard part. The press is the hard part. The acting is the fun part. So yeah, it can be really hard, but lots of times it's really fun and easy, and I like talking about the projects that I care about.
Isn't it easy to fall in love on set? And let me explain. I'm not hoping that, you know, you're going to reveal some love affair that you had on some
show. It's completely easy, and you always do.
Right, because you're around this person. Everybody is falling over themselves for you. You don't have to worry about food, accommodation. You don't have to worry about the daily stresses of life.
No, you're not taking out the trash. You're not paying the taxes. Nothing.
You live this cocooned existence.
Yes.
And you're treated like a god, and then you're with these other beautiful people.
15 hours a day.
Right.
Kissing them all the time.
Things are going to happen.
You've got to act like you're their wife or lover or, you know. So, of course, there's always that sort of, and that's what everybody's hoping for, that you have that energy together, that you like each other. Although you look at Deborah Winger and Richard Gere, who hated each other. And had that, you know, beautiful chemistry that everybody thought was so amazing. So it's, I mean, you don't have to, but it's always fun to have, you know, a little bit of, you know, a crush on whomever you're doing your scene with.
And then the movie ends and you don't speak to each other ever again.
And you don't speak to each other ever again. And then you're gone and then you're back to, you're taking out the trash and paying the taxes.
Like for a while, in Harrison Ford's life, you were the most important person. And then suddenly you weren't.
Exactly.
Overnight, it just changes.
And mm-hmm.
It must.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get a bit of sort of post-movie depression sometimes?
Yes. You always have. I always called it home reentry. So you've gone from being movie star on a set, hanging out with Harrison.
Have to be a mom.
And then you're in the door, and it's like, I hate you, Mom. Why do you die? You know, you missed this and this, and you know.
Do you know who you're talking to? I'm the star of Air Force One, you little shit.
Yeah. Okay, I can't say I've said that those exact words. You little shit. You know.
What do your kids do? How old are they?
My daughter is 28, and she is graduating this summer from Smith College in Massachusetts with her master's in social work.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. And my son graduated with a degree in economics and is now building houses on the coast of Maine.
Incredible.
Yeah. So they're, you know, both finding their way really
nicely. They must
be
proud of their mom, though. I mean, you must give them a lot of... I would imagine it must be something to have a mom who's a movie star.
You know what? I don't know. I had this conversation with my daughter when I saw her. I don't think it's always the best because I have a mom who's here with me on this trip to South Africa. I brought her, 87 years old.
Wow.
She's here. We're going on a safari. She's great. But my mom was always like the mom. She was like at home. She didn't work. She was, you know.
You suddenly started sounding very Canadian.
I did, right there. My mom now, June. And, you know, everything was just, she kept the house tickety-boo and all was really good. There was no competition. Like, my mom was my mom and I could be the star. But I feel for my kids that, you know, mom takes up so much space in a room when we're out. There's people who know you and are expecting things and want to talk to you. That it doesn't allow them that same space to shine in the way that they maybe want to. And I always tried to sort of downplay the movie bit as much as I could. I mean, we didn't go to see my movies.
Would you pick them up from school in like a robe and slippers?
In sweatpants.
Really?
In sweatpants and a ball cap. Mm-hmm.
How has social media changed all of that? Because now...
Yeah,
I mean, if you're a movie star now, it must be a very difficult life to lead because everybody's watching you all the time. Ugh. Everybody's got these goddamn phones with the cameras on them.
Exactly.
They're asking you for pictures in places where you wouldn't normally go and
with a
camera.
Yeah.
You know, someone will come up to you in the gym.
In the gym. I was just going to say, it's in the gym
and
you're sweaty and gross and everything. But, you know, truly... Do I care that there's a picture of me out there that looks like I'm an old hag? No, because generally I am. And honest to God, it doesn't matter.
You movie stars mustn't come with your old hag. I'll show you some people. Let's go for a walk down the street here. You'll look better than all of them on their best day.
I can be disguised like that. As my son said, there's two youths. He said, there's the you with the ball cap and the no makeup and the ponytail. And then he said, and then suddenly, whoosh, 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 whoosh. And then there's, like, then you walk out like this. And then people recognize you because you're sort of, but I can be very unrecognizable, very fast. Oh, no, really. You've seen it, Ben.
Ready?
Yeah.
Well, you know Ben. Who's Ben? What does Ben do?
Ben's our PR guy from
Universal. Get up to this microphone.
Yeah.
Come plug the show, for God's sake.
Yes.
That's what you're here for.
Come here, Ben.
We
you know all the details. Tonight, Tuesday night, Universal TV, 8 p.m.
Right. Come on, Ben. Give us the plug here. Come on.
For tonight, the detail, Universal TV, 8 o'clock, DSTV channel 117.
No, 118.
It's 117.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Your producer needs to get fired.
That's what I was sent. I just
threw away your notes. They were useless to me. 117.
London.
I'm sorry, everybody. Ben's come all the way this morning to correct Sia on getting
that
the
one important digit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, the 7 and the 8.
You get any time off during these press tours?
Sure. As soon as I'm done today, I'm going on a safari.
Oh, nice.
With
you
my
want to do
mother.
That? Okay, you want to do that? There have been some stories about people who've been, you know, got out of the car and get eaten by a lion.
I'm not worried about No.
You're not going to do
that's going to happen. No.
Stay in the car.
We went last time. It was the most magnificent experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
I was astounded. And ever since, I've wanted to bring my mom, and so we're going to get to do it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You should have brought your mom this morning. I feel like she would have given us some good stories about you and your youth.
Oh, she could have told you a few things, eh?
Do you still love it? You still love getting in front of the camera?
Yeah, I do love it.
That's never going to go away.
That's never going to go away. Because you know what? You're always chasing that perfect moment in the scene. You're always chasing that thing that is going to be like where it just falls in and it feels so right. And it's elusive. It's an elusive, you know, thing. There's always something in the scene that's, you know, you don't really quite like this. I can do a scene a million times. I'm always interested in figuring out how it might work.
A lot of people say, like, for a female actress, you get judged quite harshly on your appearance. And obviously, if you're an older woman in cinema and in movies and television and all the rest of it, that it becomes harder. But I kind of think that someone like you, who's got this incredible resume, And, you know, you're comparable with like the Judi Dench's and Meryl Streep's and those sort of people because...
Darling, hardly.
No, because I'll tell you why. Because when you get to a certain age, people take you seriously as an actress. They're not taking you for the way that you look or
that,
the kind of outfits you wear. And and you can do so many interesting... You must get offers to do some pretty damn amazing shows and movies now because you're so versatile, right?
I love doing that. I love doing something that's completely different, you know, that's really sort of... I do get cast a lot now as the sort of, you know...
The mom.
Formidable boss.
Oh, no, right.
I'm past the mom thing. I'm too old to be the mom.
Oh, okay.
I'm the formidable boss. So you go through all these phases as a woman. But, yeah. But you're right. Luckily, I don't have to be thinking about... I don't have to be young, sexy, strong, but vulnerable. I don't have to be that anymore. And that... is great, and that's a big relief not having to worry about that thing.
And but the industry take you seriously as an individual.
Times are changing, and now I'm doing a show that's run by women, right? Women executive producers, women writers, women showrunners, and nobody is coming down going, honey, you're not really looking sexy enough in this scene. And that happened all the time.
Are
the
you main did you ever work with Weinstein?
I never did.
Harvey
never
Weinstein,
did.
No?
No.
Because aren't you lucky?
I wasn't, yeah, I am lucky. I am lucky. Yeah, for sure. But that was always the prevailing attitude on a set was you always came in and you looked at your wardrobe and it was this little... Yeah. And you think, but I'm supposed to be like digging a ditch. Why am I wearing like this bikini, you know? Well, we've decided that that's really what looks good on the character. Then you think, no, you've decided that you need it. You need more skin. I really hope that we're seeing a sea change in that direction and we don't have to deal with that anymore. Unfortunately, I'm sure we will for a long time, but you know.
I think it's difficult now for those kinds of creeps to make things go the way that they used to.
I hope that young women have found a voice and understand that they can be powerful in speaking out against that kind of behavior. You know, I was listening to your prior story about the woman and the man and the
university
and
campus.
You know, and sure, there's going to be instances like this where it's, you know, somebody's going to make the wrong call and somebody's going to do it out of revenge. But truly, women have to be able to speak out. Do you know, in 99% of female homicides, the woman knows the man. It is a husband or a brother or a boyfriend or a son.
Here in this country, that's our biggest problem.
Of course it is.
It's inside it's in families.
Sure it is. Yeah. It's in families. It's someone you live with and someone you supposedly know and love. And that's why it's important to be able to report that stuff.
You're also a producer now.
Well, I'm a producer more in name than I am in...
Well, it's still a thing.
I would like it to be more of a thing. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to sort of make sure that these stories that I think are important are getting told. So, you know, as I sort of go into the next phase, the third act, that's what I'd like to be doing.
Well, let's recap. You're gonna take on the Fords in Toronto. You're gonna make sure that they don't win in Ontario.
Yeah.
And if they do, you're gonna run. Then you're producing endless series of movies. No slowing down happening here at all.
Yeah, not a lot.
The kids are doing well. They're out of the house.
They're out of the house.
Don't have to worry about them.
I sold the big house. I'm living in a little condo. It's so great. I think this is freedom now.
Right. You can lock up and go.
I lock up and go.
Pets?
Nothing.
Nice. So you don't have any responsibilities.
Forget it. I don't want to feed anybody anything anymore. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And you're in this. You're kind of living with somebody. You're in a relationship.
I'm in a
committed relationship.
We're a committed relationship. We don't live together. She still has two girls at home, and
that sounds ideal.
It's perfect.
We don't have to live together. This is the way to go.
I'm not kidding. It is the way to go. I mean, this is not just...
You want to see each other, you see each other.
You
if you don't,
each
you
other,
don't.
You each have your separate space. Oh. I mean, it's a perfect thing.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've got everything going for you.
Well.
No, you have. You figured it out.
Well.
You're going to teach the
hopefully,
rest of
at a certain point, and well, a lot of therapy.
Well, what a pleasure! What a pleasure to meet you. I mean, I was a little bit nervous because I thought, you know, this is someone who's done so many amazing things to come in here and talk to us. You might get bored, but look at how much fun.
I was nervous. I came in here thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to want edgier stuff than me.
Oh, come on,
no, but it was great. This
Wendy,
has
it's an absolute
really
pleasure to meet you.
It was great. It was
and
really
all the best
lovely.
With your show. Listen, everybody, you got to watch this show. It's on channel 117. That's right, on Universal Channel tonight. That's Tuesday the 5th of June, if you need to check for some ungodly reason. Maybe you don't know what day of the week it is. It's tonight at 8 p.m. on Channel 117. Put a note in your diary now. Just speak to your Siri or something. They could, you know, your phone will figure it out for you. Thank you so much for coming to see us.
Thank you.
And Ben, thank you for correcting Sia. He needs
oh,
that.
My goodness.
He needs to be watched like a hawk. All right, very good. And the show, just by the way, it is called The Detail. And it's a 10-episode series, women in investigation and in the police and trying to figure out who's murdering who. It's very good. It's a great premise for a show. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
What a pleasure.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.